Amen. Father, we pray that you will bless this conference. Amen. For the fulfillment of your purpose and your will on this earth today.
Amen.
We pray that your kingdom will come.
Yes.
And your name will be glorious.
Yes.
In the whole earth.
Yes.
We are one with you for the fulfillment.
Amen.
Pray that you will use this whole time to speak to us through the Holy Spirit and through your word.
Amen.
Do sanctify us.
Right.
Remove anything that will hinder us.
Amen.
Give us a heart that is soft, ready to receive your word.
Amen.
Do shine into our hearts.
Amen.
To enlighten each one of us.
Amen.
Amen. We pray that you will help us to be ready for your coming again.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let us turn to Matthew quickly. Chapter 6. Concerning the Lord's Prayer. Verses 9 and 10. And then verse 13, the very last sentence. Together, right? In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Yes, amen. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We are living in a very crucial time today. You know, we have been talking about the Lord's coming. And in this conference, the Lord has given us the burden to talk about the signs of the times. Yeah. Because the time has arrived, actually. I remember at the end of the last millennium, Y2K, right? Everybody has a feeling that something will happen. And indeed, something important was taking place, namely, that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ is very close. It's very near. No doubt about that. But, of course, the last signs of the times is not ready yet. We are still waiting for it. But this time around, we hope that it's going to happen. That is why during those years, at the end of that millennium, we said we are now living in a borrowed time. It's overtime. It's just like a ball game, right? If there is no result yet, so there's an overtime. But the overtime is limited. It's not going to last forever. But now, we are very close to the coming age of the kingdom. The Lord's kingdom will come. You have to believe that. Everybody knows the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, right? Everybody knows that, isn't it? You can memorize it. We don't need to to read Matthew chapter 6, right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But I want to ask you, how many of you really take that into your heart and pray to the Father, Father, when is your kingdom coming? Right? When are you going to finally fulfill your will on this earth? Not in heaven. There's no trouble in heaven. But there's a lot of trouble on this earth today. Look at the whole world today. There's a lot of trouble. Right? Look at what happened in Berlin, what happened in Ankara, in Turkey. Look at so much violence. Look at the war. Right, look at the confusion today. Look at our country here. There has never been such a troublesome, terrible election like this time. Really? Well, I mean, it's open secret, right? Even the whole world knows. Fake news, my goodness. You don't know what to believe anymore. Right. And you see, and all of a sudden, in our age, you see so much corruption. Let me tell you, these are the signs of times. I'm not going to talk about that tonight because the brothers are prepared to share with all of you. What are these signs? Because the Lord himself told us that there are the signs of times that we have to know. You know, when the Lord came to this earth the first time, about 2,000 years ago, there were signs of times. But God's people missed it. They didn't see it. They didn't know. So when the Messiah came, they said, "Who are you?" And they were even against him, jealous of our Lord Jesus Christ. They were envious. What is going to happen to us? Look, everybody is running after him. Right? So they plotted. The religious people plotted. Don't think religion is harmless. Matthew all the way to John, the Gospel of John, it shows us who was really against our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the Romans. It's not the unbelievers. Not the heathen. Not even the sinners. Because the Lord Jesus was called a friend of sinners, right? And he came to save sinners. But who were the ones who were really, truly, poisonously against our Lord Jesus Christ? Who? Sam. The religious people. The chief priests. The Pharisees. The scribes, those who knew the scriptures. The elders. The whole religious system of that time based upon the Old Testament scriptures, Judaism, supposedly to be people who knew God, right? You think today is different? We have again the whole system of religion from Roman Catholicism all the way to the youngest division among Christians today. Right? The Bible summed up all these religious systems in one word: Babylon. Babylon. So much mixture, confusion, division. Right? So you have to realize that today our situation is exactly the same. as the first coming of our Lord, so it will be in the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right. Nothing new under the sun. And the devil also has nothing new to do. Sometimes I wonder, he's not very inventive. Why? Because his system works to deceive human beings. Human beings are so vulnerable. We believe everything. Whatever you hear in the news, you believe. What if they're wrong? You think they won't lie to you? Let me tell you, the only thing that is dependable is this book. And you better read it. Yourself. Don't even listen to me. What if I were wrong? But this is the living word of God. You read it. If you don't read it, you'll never know whether what I'm saying is true or not, right? Yeah, you better read it. And ask the Lord to open your eyes and to really give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as Paul prayed in the book of Ephesians. Because this is the only book that is dependable. Everything else will pass away, the Lord said, but my word will not pass away. And every word here will be fulfilled. So if you don't read it, it's your own fault. When the Lord comes back, you cannot say, yeah, but I believe John so. The Lord will ask you, who is he? Why don't you read the word? Or are you illiterate? Are you illiterate? Can you read? The first time I saw you, can you read? You read so many books, right? Well, you better read this one. Because this is called the book of books. That's why it's called the Bible. It's called the book. How many books have you read? Tell me. Since kindergarten. Oh, you read the fairy tales, the children's books, and all the way to college. You read so many books, right? You can't even count. But what about this book? You read so many books, but the book you don't read. And then you just believe whatever other people says. And this was what happened during the first coming of the Lord. They all believed, the chief priests, the elders, the Pharisees, the scribes. They're supposed to be the expert, right? Well, today you have no excuse. You read this book yourself. Right. Do it. Okay? You don't have much time left. So I hope that you will read this book. I don't know how many times I've read through it already. But there's still many things that I need to discover in this wonderful book. Right. So we need to know the signs of times and the coming age. The book of Revelation at the very end told us the coming age is the age of the millennial kingdom. God let mankind rule over this earth 6,000 years. And at the end of the 6,000 years, what kind of rule do we have on this earth? We went through 2 world wars, okay? 2 world wars. That is always the result of fallen human rule. It's wars. And the war never stopped. The history of the world is a history of wars. Right? Have you read history? Right. What about American history? Wars. the world history, the history of war. What about in Africa? Wars, right? So the Lord himself says there'll be wars and rumors of wars, and hey, a terrible thing. 6,000 years. Number six is a number of man in the Bible, because man is created at the end of the 6 days. So the Lord gave mankind 6,000 years to rule since Adam up to now. From Adam to Abraham is 2,000 years. From Abraham to the first coming of Christ is another 2,000 years. And from the first coming of Christ until today is another 2,000 years, 6,000 years. So mankind has nothing to say. The end result is terrible. No peace, no righteousness, full of violence, in a way, hopeless. But praise the Lord, in the 7,000 years, our Lord will come back and establish his kingdom on this earth, which the Bible called the millennial kingdom. The kingdom of righteousness and peace. Today, you have to remember our Lord Jesus Christ. He not only accomplished redemption on the cross, but he rose again. And where is he today? Sitting on the throne at the right hand of the majesty on high. Let's read Hebrews chapter 1. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. It's always good to read a Bible, okay? Please read. Amen. In verse 3, it says, Christ, being the brightness of his glory, the glory of God our Father, and the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. My, now you know why all things are still functioning in the universe today. And who is upholding it, okay? You better thank the Lord that he is still upholding it. By the word of his power. And when he had by himself purged our sins, of course, that was his death on the cross. What happened? He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Praise the Lord. Today he is sitting down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Right? And in verse 8, let us jump to verse 8. But to the Son he said, your throne, O God, my, the Son is God. Jesus Christ is God. Your throne, O God. Which God? Who is he referring to? To the Son. But can you imagine the Son is God? Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. And a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Praise God. It's a scepter of righteousness. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companion. Praise the Lord. Who is sitting on the throne? Our Lord Jesus Christ. He is God. The Catholic says, Mary is also sitting there. Forget about her. You don't see that here in this book, okay? Now, He says, verse 13, let us jump to verse 13. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool? Enemies. There is the power of darkness today working. Right. So the Lord is sitting on the throne, actually fighting the battle today. Right. And you need to see the Lord is there on the throne, waiting until all of his enemies become his footstool. Praise the Lord. And this is what Psalm 110 says. Let's quickly go to Psalm 110. David said this already 1,000 years before the Lord Jesus Christ come. The Lord sent to my Lord. What did he say? Go to the cross. No, not here, right? Not in this psalm here. It says, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. My, look what the word says. The enemies. Who are these enemies? People are so much against God today. The enemies are not only the principalities and powers, not only Satan and the fallen angels, the evil spirits, not only the demons, but fallen human beings as well. They are against God. Right. They are against God. Not only the unbelievers, but many of the so-called Christians, religious people, they are against God. Right? So, you have to really see this. Right? And your people, praise the Lord, we must be God's people today. Are we God's people? Yes. Amen. The people of the King shall be volunteers. Amen. Are you a volunteer? Or you don't like to volunteer? The Lord is not going to force you. You make your choice. In the day of your power, sitting at the right hand of the Majesty on high, in the beauty of holiness, right? From the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever. Amen. According to the order of Melchizedek, our Lord is the great high priest today. The King of righteousness and the King of peace. This is what the word Melchizedek means, the King of righteousness. And because he's the King of Salem, Salem means peace, so our Lord is also the King of peace. What does he say? The Lord is at your right hand, the right hand of God our Father. He shall execute kings in the day of his wrath. That means the coming 3.5 years of the great day of his wrath. It is coming. If you don't read a book of Revelation, you may not know. So read. Please read, okay? Amen. You have no excuse unless you cannot read. But if you cannot read, there are audio Bible, you know, and so you can listen. Whatever language. If your English is not good, listen to the Bible in Chinese. right? Or Spanish, how about that? It's okay, right? He shall execute kings in the day of his wrath because of all the corruption and terrible things happening. He shall judge among the nations. He shall fill the places with dead bodies in the war of Armageddon, the last war when the Lord comes back. Satan is going to gather the armies of the nation to war against Christ. You may not know, but it's written. And he shall execute the heads of many countries. My goodness. Can you imagine that? Have you ever read this? Yeah? Good. Put it on your wall there in a piece of paper. And he shall drink of the brook by the wayside. Therefore he shall lift up his head. He is victorious. Revelation says he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's coming back to this earth. You have to see this panoramic picture. Then you will understand why the Lord taught his disciples to pray, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come on earth. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, after 6,000 years and over, the time is very near. That's why this topic is very important. The signs of times concerning Christ's second coming and God's eternal kingdom. Because his coming on this earth as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is to rule over these nations. Yep. In Revelation, it says, now the kingdoms of this world has become the kingdom of God and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. So now, let us read Revelation chapter 19. Praise the Lord. Amen. Verse 11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. Praise the Lord. When the Lord comes, what is he going to do? In his second coming, he's going to judge and he's going to make war with the nations. Okay? His eyes were like a flame of fire. My goodness. What a wonderful Christ we have. It's a different Christ. And on his head were many crowns. He had a name written which no one knew except himself. My, he even has a special secret name. You think you know him, right? There are many secrets you don't know about the Lord. And he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is also called the Word of God. My, he is the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on horses. Praise the Lord. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. Now, when do you think this is going to happen? Or you don't believe it will happen? You believe? You better believe, right? Are you a believer or an unbeliever? Huh? A believer. What do you believe? You believe every word that the Bible says. Don't be half a believer. Okay? Be a full-time believer. A full believer. You believe every word that the Bible says. Right. A lot of people don't like to read Revelation for some strange reason, right? Yeah. With it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule over them with a rod of iron. My goodness. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. How about that, Jake? You like to hear that? You have a choice?
No.
I tell you, whether you believe it or not, it's going to happen. Okay, so it doesn't depend on whether you believe or not. It depends on what the Word of God says. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings. And what?
Lord.
The Lord of Lords. Right. Ah, Lord Jesus. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God. My goodness, what supper is that? Do you know why there are so many birds in this earth today? The vultures, right? What do they eat? Flesh. There's so many gulls, seagulls. You know what they eat? They like to eat flesh. Right. So many of them. Yep. What are they going to eat? Verse 18. That you may eat the flesh of what? Are you sure?
Yes.
Not pigs and foxes and wolves. The flesh of kings. The flesh of captains. The flesh of mighty men. The flesh of horses and of those who sit on them, the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, this is the Antichrist, the beast, the kings of the earth and their armies gather together to make war against him who sat on a horse and against his army. And the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who works signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the rest of the armies there were killed with a sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on a horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. I'm not going to read anymore. You might not be able to sleep tonight. You may not know such a righteous Christ. You know only the Christ who died on the cross to save us. But today, look, so many people were against him, will not receive salvation. They were atheists. They were like Sodom and Gomorrah, like the days of Noah. So much unrighteousness, violence, bombing themselves and others, doing all kinds of crazy things. And what do? Stand one with them. If you're against them, they're called racist. You can't do anything. All kinds of strange justification. Right? What are we going to do? Well, feed them to the birds, the Lord says. Now you know why there are so many birds. Got another 7 years to multiply. Because it's going to be a great feast in the valley of Megiddo. That's why it's called Armageddon. It's fully according to what Zechariah prophesied, that they are all going to come to Jerusalem. Outside of Jerusalem is the valley of Megiddo. That's why it's called Armageddon, meaning to say the valley of Megiddo. That's where the battle is going to take place. I didn't imagine that. It's written in the Bible. It's written in the Bible. So we need to understand this to see the seriousness of what's going to happen. Right. So may the Lord really have mercy on us. Now, in order to give you a picture, let us take a look at our... Okay. Is it going to take a while? Okay. You need to understand the whole picture from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Right? I think this chart will help all of us to have a clear understanding.
She's on standby too long, so check
out. Yeah. Well, it's coming, really? Epson is coming. I forgot to bring my stick. I can use my finger. I just want to give everybody a brief summary of the whole Bible. Right. Well, what can we do? We don't have all night, right? Yeah. Amen. We don't have any stick that I can... Nothing, right?
Chopstick?
A chopstick. Yeah, why not? We'll use a chopstick. Oh, good. Oh, my finger is good. My finger. No, it's fine. It is fine. I think it's fine, right? This is a very brief but accurate description of the truth in the Bible concerning what's going to happen, and what had happened, and what's going to happen, right? In Genesis chapter 1, we all know it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, the Bible did not have to convince us that there is God, no, because God exists whether you believe it or not. And Paul says the whole creation proves that there is a God. Amen. And recently, one of the physicists said, the whole universe, when you see, it's very meaningful. It proves in itself that there is an existence of God. Amen. Because it is just too wonderful and too logical. And too precise, so precise that you can do everything in a mathematical equation. Thank you. Dankeschön, Dankeschön. Vielen Dank. This is really wonderful. This is not the rod of iron, okay? but this is just a pointer to point to us. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. No need of any explanation. No need. Don't think that God created a chaos, because in verse chapter 1, let us just read again. It's very important to see this. You know, you have to believe that the Word of God, the Bible is the Word of God, because nobody can say so much in such a few words. Okay? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and we don't know when this beginning was. Thousands of years, myriads of years, it didn't say. No. Right? Then in verse 2, it says, and the earth was without form and void. Now, this verse 2 is very difficult to explain, because the Hebrew word here, was, has several meanings. Mainly, it can be an existing form, it was, or it can be translated into become or became. Just like Lot's wife, right? What happened to Lot's wife? She became. What does it mean, she became?
She was not.
She was not. Of course, she was not. Right? And the word here, the earth became without form and void. You know, in English language, you will not understand, because language is complicated. The Hebrew language here is tohu bohu. Tohu bohu means it was chaos. It was chaotic. And it is always a verb, or I mean adjectives, describing the situation after a judgment. Just like Europe in the Second World War. It was beautiful before the World War. But after the World War, it became tohu bohu. It became a chaos. That means something happened. Something really happened. And the Bible tells us in Job chapter 38, when God made the earth, because the heaven was created first and then the earth. So when God created the earth, he measured it. He laid the foundation. And all the angels were so rejoicing and happy and clapping their hands. And they were, wow, right? Because they saw such a wonderful, beautiful earth created by God. Should we read it or not? Well, you have to believe. Just believe what I said and go home and read Job chapter 38, okay? It is nonsense to believe that God created chaos. If you're going to create something, are you going to create a chaos first? I hope not. How about you? Who is going to create a chaos first? You think God is, I don't know, a strange creator? He created first a chaos, and after a million years, bang, 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 and bang, and then gradually it become a universe. Well, what kind of a creator would that be? You think it's necessary for God to do that? You know, our Lord Jesus Christ, he made water into wine, the best wine. How did he do it? After 10 years? One second. As the servants pour water into the vessels and then pour out to the guests. And when they're pouring out to the guests, it became the best wine. So when did that water become wine? The moment it was poured into that vessel, the six vessels. For you, of course, you need to plant a seed, to plant a vineyard, you need to wait for a long time, and then you need to wait until the grapes came out, and then you have to process it, blah, 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 and then you have to let it stand there, I don't know for how long, and then you have some wine. And to have a good wine, that's something else. Right? But our Lord doesn't have to do that. He poured in the water. You got the best wine. You think when God created this earth here, it took him 1,000,000 years? It's a joke. For you, yeah, even a 1,000,000,000 years, you cannot make it, okay? Yeah, if you have 1,000,000,000 years, you're not going to create an earth. You cannot even create an ant or a mosquito. You cannot even make it, right? Can you create a mosquito? You know how God created mosquitoes? He just spoke it. Let there be mosquitoes. They're all flying around. Can you do that? Try say it, let there be mosquitoes. But this is our God. He spoke it, let there be light. And there was light. How about you? You can shout from the top of your lungs, let there be light. Still darkness. No light. Right? So God created a beautiful earth. But something happened. What happened? Although here it didn't tell us, but elsewhere in the Bible it told us that right here, right in the very beginning when God created the heavens and the earth, right here, the angels were firstly created by God. So God let the angels rule first this earth. Sorry, it is. Right. So here we see that in this period of time, in the very beginning when God created the heavens and the earth, and when the earth was created, God let the angels rule. I don't know why. Right? Why he let the angels rule, it doesn't matter, but he did. Now, then the angels rebel. You can read all these. This should not be easy because people might think it's Ezra, but it is Ezekiel, E-Z-E-K, okay? E-Z-E-K, this is not easy. But Ezek, Ezekiel. In these two portions of the Bible, it tells us how the archangel, Lucifer, rebelled against God. He wanted to be like God. He became proud because of his beauty and wisdom, right? And power that God has given him to rule over the earth at that time. And definitely, they are living creatures on this earth, just like today. Right? That was before Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, right? So, something happened at that time, and the earth became tohu bohu. That means God judges the earth at that time. Just like the time of Noah, God judged the earth with a flood. So Noah's judgment at that time was not the first time that judgment was made. The first time of God's judgment was at this time. You know, people don't like to talk about this. I know some people didn't want it. Because some people told me, right? Don't talk about that. You know, people don't like to hear that. People don't like to talk about the devil, right? Whether you like to talk about Satan or not, he is there, I'm sorry. And you better know that he exists. That's why you have all the troubles, okay? Do you have trouble or not? Yeah, you better know where the trouble came from, right? Because if you don't know your enemies, you don't know how to fight him. The whole New Testament tells us that, hey, we have a terrible enemy, the power of darkness. We have Satan there. In Revelation 12, he became a great red dragon, the deceiver of this world. The whole world was deceived by him. Right? So you can really see something happened here. Whether you like it or not, it is in the Bible. That's why it says here, and you understand verse 2, and the word became tohu bohu, a chaos. Let me read to you Jeremiah chapter 4, right? Let us read Jeremiah chapter 4. I think it's a good portion for you to realize here. Verse 18, I believe. Yeah. Am I in Jeremiah? Yeah. Oh, 23, I'm sorry. Verse 23. Yeah. I beheld the earth, and indeed it was without form and void. It is exactly the same as Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, okay? It is tohu bohu. And the heavens, they had no light. They didn't give light. I beheld the mountains, and indeed they trembled. Hey, the mountains trembled. And all the hills moved back and forth. There was an earthquake. And I beheld, indeed, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens had fled. Hey, there were birds there at that time already. Right here, at least in this. Of course, this is talking about God's judgment, right? I beheld, and indeed a fruitful land was wilderness. It became a wilderness. It was fruitful, but it became wilderness. And all its cities were broken down. There were cities, but it was broken down. At the presence of the Lord, by his what? Fierce anger. Now you understand why Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, tohu bohu, is talking about the judgment of this time. Of course, this judgment in Jeremiah is talking about God's judgment there, right? You can really see, if you read on, for thus says the Lord, the whole land shall be desolate. Yet I will not make a full end. So you can really realize that at this point in time, the earth became tohu babohu. And this is the pre-Adamic age. So after the judgment here, at this point in time, we don't know how long, okay? But it probably is not very long after God's judgment. Then God started again to renovate the earth in 7 days. That happened 6,000 years ago. That is when he created man. Right? Because as Paul revealed to us, before the foundation of the world, God has chosen man. but he let the angels rule first. Now, so this is the 7 days of restoration right at this point. And man was created. Here, God came in to create in 7 days, and man was created right at this point. We use the word, the green color, right? But before God could accomplish his purpose with man, Satan came in. The serpent came in and causes man to fall. We all know in Genesis chapter 3. So sin came in and man fell. This is the fall of man. That's why here you see the gray. Right? So you can see after the fall of man, my goodness, immediately the first children of Adam, Abel and Cain. You know the story of Abel and Cain, right? Because the poison of Satan came into man. What did Cain do? He killed his brother. And the Lord says Satan was a murderer from the very, very beginning. Because, hey, in the very beginning of man, right here, right after the fall, the first thing Cain did was to kill. And he killed because he was envious of his brother Abel. Right? So let us not dwell in that, but you can really see immediately this guy here came in to corrupt mankind. And after the corruption, man continued to fall here. At the time of Noah, the flood in Genesis chapter 6 to 7, the corruption was so bad that God has to come in and destroy and judge the flood. But you have to realize that this flood was the second time that God destroyed everything on this earth. But the first time was here. You can really see in Genesis chapter 1, the whole earth was covered with water. Because in those days, God judged through water. Right? It was only at the time of the flood that God made a covenant with Noah. From now on, he is not going to destroy the earth with flood. Although once in a while, a little tsunami, okay. Tsunami, yeah. Tsunami was, okay. Nothing like a flood, right? Here, but then after the flood, you have the Tower of Babel. Men rebel against God again, and hey, became idol worshippers. I don't like to get into too much details. Maybe sometimes when we're alone, I will share some details with you, right? But here, you can really see something terrible happened here. Some of the angels, angelic beings, came down in Genesis chapter 6 and mingled with man, with the women of mankind, and produced giants, Nephilim, it is called. So at that time, you have a strange kind of a creature, neither men nor devils nor angels, right? So they were called giants, Nephilim. And very strange, even when the people of Israel came out of Egypt into the good land, there were still giants there. Although, during this time, the Lord has really destroyed everything. Right? They have to be destroyed. Otherwise, hey, you know, you cannot produce something that is neither this nor that. This is not God's way. Okay, everything according to its kind. Now, then man began to build the Tower of Babel, and that's where Babylon came from. In Aramaic, it's called Babel. In Greek, it's called Babylon. Right? And today, it's called Babylon. Here, then again you can see man begin to worship idols here. At this time, it is so terrible and trying to build a tower up to the heaven. Men themselves, they like to go up so high. But how high can you go? Right? I don't know how high this tower is, but it can't be higher than any of the tall buildings today, right? I don't know. But everybody wants to build a tower. Right? But anyway, here you can see God came in again to judge. And this time God judged by the confusion of the language to disperse them. So they were dispersed here and nobody understood each other. This is the principle of Babylon, right? God came in and judged them, causing the language confusion. That's why we have so many different languages today. Right? I don't know how many languages are there today, but many, right? Even in Switzerland, you have many different languages. One country with so many languages. Amazing. And when I hear you speak German, I don't understand it. Because you speak Swiss German. Switzerdeutsch. Yeah. Switzerdeutsch. So then God called out Abraham because God is not going to give up his purpose. So at this time he called out Abraham, and through Abraham he started to build his kingdom called Israel, the nation of Israel. So then you can really see the history in the Old Testament days. The nation of Israel was formed, right, out of Egypt in Exodus. Then all the way in the book of Moses, you can see God gave them the law. Right? And God wanted to have a nation of priests, a holy nation, a special nation. So Israel is supposed to be the nation of God, the kingdom of God on this earth at that time, the earthly kingdom. But this time is a time of preparation, the age of the Old Covenant. The age of the Old Covenant. Right? This is only a time of preparation to bring in the heavenly kingdom. So the Old Covenant age was an age of preparation to bring us, to usher into the new covenant, which is the heavenly kingdom. But again, during this time, the nation of Israel fell again. They rejected God to be their king. They wanted to have a man to be their king. And God was offended. Okay, but God gave in, okay. God gave them Saul, the first king, which was not very good. And then David, praise the Lord, David was good. And after David, Solomon. Solomon was good in the beginning, but not good at the end. And subsequently in the history of Israel, the nation, of course, divided Israel and Judah, and at the end, they all became idol worshippers like the nations. And their idol worship was worse, became worse than the nations. Amazing. So God gave up the nation of Israel during the Old Testament days and brought them into captivity in Babylon. At this very time in year 606 BC. So the earthly kingdom of Israel stopped right here because they all became idol worshippers. Terrible. You read the Bible, you will know. So from this time to this time, and the brothers will show you in the coming meetings, it is called now the times of the nations. Because God handed the control of this earth over to the nations. So from Babylon here all the way to today, till today in 1967, as the Lord Jesus Christ says, when Jerusalem is no longer trodden under the foot of the Gentiles, right? That will be the end of the times of the nations. So here, this time, the brothers will share with us, right? So, but meanwhile, the Lord Jesus, when he came, this is the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ right here. When he came here, he started to talk about the kingdom of the heavens, the church. That's why the gospel started with Matthew. Repent. Why? Because the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. So the Lord's purpose coming the first time to this earth is to initiate the kingdom of the heavens. Of course, in order to build the kingdom of the heavens, he has to accomplish redemption first. Otherwise, how can he get a people? Right? So he firstly has to accomplish redemption. And this is the fulfillment of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Behold, your king cometh, humble, riding on a donkey, bringing salvation with him. So right at this point, you can see, firstly, the Lord has to accomplish redemption. Then he rose again, and then he ascended to the throne. This is why the Lord Jesus has to become a man, because he wants to recover man. Because God's plan is supposed to be fulfilled with man. We are supposed to rule and take over the authority and the kingdom from the usurping hands of the devil. That is why the devil wants to destroy humanity. But the Lord came to save humanity, not to bring you to heaven, no, but to establish his kingdom where? You better be clear on this earth. What are you going to do in heaven? Everybody wants to go to heaven, right? Don't you want to go to heaven? Oh, yeah, people want to go to heaven. Then I ask them, what do you want to do there? Oh, they don't know, but they want to go there. Because somebody told them that, oh, you're saved, then you go to heaven. Oh, Satan wants you to go to heaven because he wants to keep the earth. But blessed are the meek. What does the Lord say? Matthew 5. For they shall heaven. You sure? What do you want to inherit? Heaven or the earth? Yeah. People will say, you're always saying the opposite things. Well, I didn't say the opposite thing. The Lord is saying that. They are saying the opposite thing. Opposite to the word of God. But God wants us to inherit the earth and to bring his kingdom down to this earth. Otherwise, why would the Lord come the second time and establish his kingdom on this earth? And if he is here, why would you like to go there? Right? So here you can really see the Lord now is preparing the church. But unfortunately, Satan came in again and the church fell after the first centuries. And in the third centuries became a terrible Roman church. Since when did the church become Roman? You tell me. The church is a heavenly church. It became Roman. And during this period of time here, the whole time, for 1,000 years, the papal Roman, or Roman papal church, ruled over the kings. And it's called the age of darkness because there's so much darkness. So many Christians were killed by the Roman church. History tells us the worst torturing machines were invented not by the Roman emperor, but the Roman church. Right? So the Lord is recovering. In the book of Revelation, the seven churches, the Lord is recovering his kingdom today. He's not going to give up, but he will recover. Right? So you can really see
Then Christ came the second time here to say, to really rule for 1,000 years right here, the millennial kingdom. And the faithful Christians will be co-kings with Christ. And this is what we are waiting for. We are right now very close to this point here. Very close. And I believe the brothers will convince us by the word and by the signs of times that indeed we are really very close. Very, very close. Not just very close, but very, very close. When you see the signs of times, you'll be surprised. We are almost here. Right now, you better get ready. Whether you like it or not, well, we don't have much time. And if, by the Lord's mercy, we are faithful to Him and follow the Lamb, not follow religion or any group or anything, we follow the Lamb wherever He goes, we will reign with Christ for 1,000 years right here. Please, read to us, George, Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. Okay, stand up and read it to us. Yeah. To Him who loved us. Verse 5 at the end, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood.
That's good enough, no?
No.
Oh, why not?
And has made us kings and priests.
No, come on. You really believe that?
To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
What is He going to make you?
Kings and priests.
Oh, come on.
It's written.
Really? He wants to make you kings and priests. Where? To rule in the heaven? On this earth. Over the nations. This is what God's plan is. Now the question is, are you qualified to rule with Him? Are you on His side? Right? Don't think, okay, I believe and that's it. No, no, no. To be kings and to be priests, you really need to know exactly what the Lord wants and how to be qualified. Right? Suppose, Lorraine, I said, I want to be a doctor. Oh, now I'm a doctor. Just because I want to be a doctor. Is it that simple? How many years did you study to come to this point? 8 years. So, you cannot be a doctor just by saying, okay, I want to be a doctor. Right? Right? Or university is going to make me a doctor tomorrow. No. No. You need to go through some training. You don't even know what the Word of God says. You don't even know what qualifications. You don't even know the indwelling Christ, the Holy Spirit, the anointing teaching you all things. You don't even know what all the spiritual offerings are. How can you be a priest and a king knowing nothing? Right? So here, praise the Lord, we are at this time. And then after the millennial kingdom, then you have something more wonderful, more glorious. And that is the new heaven and new earth. That is the new Jerusalem, the consummation of God's kingdom. And it is right at this point that God's kingdom in all eternity will be fulfilled. Right? So, actually, this is the history of the whole Bible. all the way from Genesis to the book of Revelation. You better see this. Right? To understand God's plan, you need to see this. And may the Lord open our eyes. The kingdom is very important. Because at the end of the Bible, you only have two things. Number one, the bride. Number two, the kingdom. Okay. So the bride must be glorious, holy, without blemish, without spot, without wrinkle. Must fully correspond to our dear bridegroom. And secondly, we have to be at the army of this wonderful King of Kings and Lord of Lords to rule with him in the millennial kingdom. Right. Hey. Simple as that. And I hope that this will be an introduction to our conference this weekend. The signs of the times, to really see what is happening today, especially from this point here to this point. Right? Amen. Amen. You have to pray, right? Don't miss it. It's very important. Our burden this time is not to give you some knowledge, but to stir up the spirit within you to really see that, hey, you don't have a choice. And you don't have much time. And you better wake up. Right? It's not the knowledge. You can forget about the knowledge. But, hey, you better have the awareness that the Lord is coming very soon. And it's 100% in your time. I cannot tell you the day and the hour, okay? But I can tell you the season. And the Lord is showing us signs of times, and we need to know. So, praise the Lord. I trust in the Lord and that the brothers will do a good job. Starting tomorrow, right? And that the Holy Spirit will speak to us. And open our eyes to really see. It's not a matter of theology. It's not a matter of just having knowledge. But to really know what the Lord wants today and what He's doing. Just to know is not enough. I'm not saying we should know. But the knowledge alone is not going to help you. Right? It's up to you. You need to learn to cooperate with the Lord. Right. Amen. Just want to let the saints know this point here. Because we cannot be ignorant of what the devil is doing. Right. And so even when God called Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and started the nation of Israel again, Satan corrupted them. Okay. And don't think Satan will not do that with us today, okay? And the history of the church shows us terrible things happen to the churches. Terrible things happen, right? So again, you can see the activities of Satan. No wonder Paul says we are not ignorant of the strategies of Satan. And in Ephesians chapter 6, our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, the heavenly wickedness, right? Against the prince, the ruler of the power in the heavens. So here you can really see, right, all of this time, like the Apostle John, what he said in 1 John, the whole world lies in the hands of the evil one. Mm-hmm. New King James says, in the sway. It's not only in the sway. That means the influence, right? The sway is an influence. It's not only influence, it's in his hands. Right? So you can, oops, what happened, yes?
That's what happened.
Right? So you can really see that in all of these times there is a warfare going on between Christ and his enemies. But the Lord definitely is the victor, no doubt about it. He already accomplished redemption on the cross. He already destroyed him who has the power of death, right? Which is Satan, the devil. In Hebrews chapter 2, it is very clear. But nevertheless, the Lord is waiting for us to gain a kingdom, a nation, a people who can rule with him. If it is just the Lord himself ruling alone, he is already qualified. Okay? He could have already ruled. He is already sitting on the throne. But what is he waiting for? He's waiting for us, the church, to be ready for the overcomers. He's ready. He's waiting for the first fruits. He's waiting to have an army. Right? He's waiting for a king. So here you can really see the enemy. That's why it is very important for you to understand this part. And that's why nobody wants to talk about this part. Right? When I was making this chart and preparing for the conference, I know some people didn't like it. They agree with this, but they don't agree with that. I wonder why. Who is interested to hide this part here? Yeah, you tell me. Who do you think has interest to hide this part? We just like to start here, right? Oh, God made man here 6 days, and everybody start here, but nobody wants to start here. No wonder we believe in the lies of Satan. No wonder we fell into his trap. Right? Somebody even say, oh yeah, don't say this because the Christians will be offended. Oh my goodness, are you offended? Huh? Are you? I know who is offended. The devil is offended. Right? Are you offended? Are you? Are you offended that I mentioned Satan here?
We need to know.
You need to know. But how come some people didn't want to know? Oh, don't talk about that. People don't like to hear it. And people will be offended. Oh, why are you not offended? Because you love the truth. That's why. Because it's the truth. And the truth will set you free.
Amen.
Right? You cannot ignore this because he doesn't ignore you. Why do you ignore him? He gave you a lot of trouble and you're hiding him. You're helping him to hide. Yeah. I want to expose him.
Amen.
But some people are Christians, yeah? Are helping to hide him. I don't understand that. I guess I'm too dumb to understand that. Right? But you have to see that there is a universal warfare going on. No wonder it says the Lord is sitting on the throne to wait until he make all his enemies his footstool. But he needs our help. He needs our cooperation. Right? So, amen.
Amen.
I hope you see this.